Hey folks, welcome to the Huddle Talk TV podcast. This is actually last week's episode. If you want today's episode, it'll be on our Patreon right now, a week early if you contribute. It's patreon.com/huddletalktv. Thanks if you do that. If not, enjoy this one. See you in the future.
Difficult video games against others.
Single player games were tough back in the day, man. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Mario on the Game Boys? There was like no saves, right, on those platformers. So if you got to a really tough part, like you really just had to power through that. And then you run out of lives and you got to restart at the beginning of the level.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying that that was a good aspect. It just took longer to play the game and it's frustrating. Like even like you can download emulators and stuff like that. And like Sonic, have you ever like gone back and played the old Sonic games?
Yeah.
Dude, once you get to a certain level, it's just you're ready to turn it off.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like there's nothing that you want to... there's no satisfaction. It's not like you can compare against a friend because they're working on the same game as you are. It's like, no, it's an emulator. Like nobody...
I don't know if it's just me, but even as I've gotten older with some like really crappy graphic games, I just find those to be the best still.
Yeah.
I can go back and play those.
That's true.
But, you know, games from, I don't know, like 3-4 years ago, they only last a year and the quality just isn't... they're not worth the replay.
The replay value. But I find that there's a lot of nostalgia tied up with those games too, to be honest.
So you think it's a nostalgia thing?
Yeah. I can't remember what saying it was, but people were saying like nostalgia, you're always like poisoned by, you know, the familiarity of it all. Mm-hmm. But like, what was the game like on N64? We used to have Banjo-Kazooie. Do you remember that game?
No. What is that?
Banjo-Kazooie was like, it was like, do you remember Donkey Kong?
Of course.
And obviously Super Mario.
Yeah.
It was like an open world. Like it was like an open world. I don't know what you call it. Like a platformer like that.
Okay.
But basically you had this little bird in a backpack and it could fly, but it's pretty much like any old game. You're collecting like puzzle pieces instead of... what did Mario collect? Stars?
Yeah.
Stars. Yeah. So you're collecting puzzle pieces, but like I remember playing it back in the day. Like it was super cool. But then you get back into playing it after like you download an emulator on your computer and it's just like, wait, there was kind of like only three actions that you did. It just kind of became repetitive. Mm-hmm. But it was like, man, games as a younger child, like I still will say to this day, my skill in Mario Kart was very good.
What did you... you grew up on N64?
I didn't even really play consoles.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had an N64.
Okay.
But my mom kept it at the top of like... what do you call that where you store a TV, like one of those giant hutches back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I never really got to play it unless it was like a birthday party. Kind of weird.
Kind of, yeah.
Do you remember how much shit you used to have in one of those hutches back in the day? All the DVDs.
Everything.
All the games.
Yeah.
The big stereo receivers. Just a lot of shit.
I saw a tweet the other day.
Yeah, by Elon Musk.
By Elon Musk, yeah. No, so I saw a tweet the other day, and it was saying that kids born from 85 to 95 had the best recent childhood because they kind of got a mix between a little bit of like pre-internet days.
I would agree.
Childhood. Like, yeah, I was going to say, would you agree with that? Because I think I would.
So, like, yeah, like when my sister was 3 years older, so she was born 1990, right? So that's kind of like the halfway part between those, you know, that range. But obviously with her being the oldest one, you know, when she kind of got a computer, I, 3 years younger, I had a computer right away too, mm-hmm. right? So as long as I can remember, I think even like grade one or two, like I had a computer for homework assignments, right?
Sure.
So I remember playing Lion King games and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I can definitely appreciate, like, dude, if you were born, that's what I always argue, if you were born 5 years earlier, you'd have such an advantage on just the workplace, housing in Canada. Mm. You basically would have had such a head start.
Yeah, I agree on that. It's really just a five-year window.
That
really.
5-year window would have made a big difference.
Big difference for a lot of people.
But if they tried to go on TikTok, they'd be boomers.
Yeah.
And we're not.
Well, you have that. It's so funny how many people in the millennial generation don't even know they're in the millennial generation.
That's true.
They're like boomer millennials,
yeah.
kind of, right?
Yeah.
They'll be like 36 years old. They're a millennial.
Yeah.
Like that's...
But they don't realize it.
They don't realize it. And they'll roast millennials.
See, yeah, you're right. Because Gen Z technically... so the actual classification, I think it's 1998. Which is like the hard year cutoff. But I think that's...
yeah, 97 or 98 or whatever.
But I think that's bullshit. And here's a particular reason why. if I was basically born, you know, 3 years earlier in the sense of like, I had a computer, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, if I was the age that I was at 4 years old, my parents wouldn't have got me a computer till I was seven. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Right. Sure. But because my sister was 3 years older, I had access to a computer probably 3 years before I probably would have if I was the oldest.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to explain it.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, that cutoff, again, I referenced that. If you had to never hand write a homework assignment, like we had to hand write a few things all the way up until grade eight.
Dude. Yeah. I was going to say like almost high school is when we started having to like type things up and do.
There's a hybrid for sure between those younger grades.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I'm curious about, you remember all the Bristol board action that used to go on? Remember Bristol board and like the cardboard cutouts?
Oh yeah.
You know, for the projects.
Yeah.
My question is, are they doing those
now?
Analog, or are they just making like a really cool website or PowerPoint? Like, how are they?
I would think there's a lot of schools that I've heard of nowadays, and maybe this is because of a pandemic thing.
Yeah, that's,
kids are like required to have computers now.
That's true. So if you do a Bristol board assignment, nobody's looking at it.
No.
Right? And remember how stressful it used to be to bring those to school?
Like pack it in mom's or dad's car or whatever. Yeah.
And you couldn't get any water.
Don't damage it.
Yeah, it was a rainy day. Yeah. Like, oh, my grade. My every raindrop a grade.
It's not like the dog ate my homework. It's the rain messed up my Bristol board.
Realistically, if Khalid had a dog, how many times do you think he would have used that one?
Every day. Every assignment.
You know, miss, like my dog. I can't believe I still love that. And then
you don't even know if he's talking about his homeboy or his animal. My dog.
Exactly. My dog ate it. What do you mean? Like he ate a punch? Your dog ate your homework? You know?
It's tricky.
That's pretty wild. It's tricky. Do you remember Whiteout? Whiteout? You remember the
Oh, you're talking about Whiteout? Yeah. Of course. I thought you were like a game show or something. No, Whiteout, of course. Of course.
No. But you remember there was always like the divide between like the liquid people with the little brush versus like the tape?
Mm-hmm. What'd you use?
Kind of whatever was available. I didn't really care. I would scribble it out.
I didn't care either, but I would say in the early days, I used the liquid.
Yeah.
Right? With a brush.
I never waited long enough, and I would always get my pen.
You're blowing at it? Yeah, you're blowing at it?
Yeah.
No, but now, any whiteout I see nowadays, I don't know if it's just me. It's the tape. It's that tape stuff, which I think, honestly, nowadays, I would say is better.
Probably.
You don't want that mess.
No.
The tape is just
dude. How many? Nice. And I'm sure this is a rite of passage, but you've obviously had a whiteout container leak in your pencil case.
Oh, and then the pencil case is
covered. And then everything's
the tape's not doing that.
Everything is fricked.
Mm-hmm.
But then the one thing is like, if you mess up that tape that one time, then you got to like feed it, and you know you're kind of at a part where it's clear, and then you have a little bit of extra tape, and you got to figure out how to like wheel it back.
Yeah, that's the tough part, I guess.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
But I'll take that.
That's true. I wasn't really a big fan of the liquid because I was always too eager. It's like you guaranteed you're going to burn your mouth on pizza and you're going to write too early on liquid whiteout. Right?
He's got these guys on TikTok and Twitch. They're like, "Oh, the Huddle Talk Lounge. That's awesome. What are they talking about?"
Whiteout. You literally
we'll talk about anything.
Exactly. But dude, it's insane. You think about it, there were some kids that were like, they made a mistake, brand new line sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Do you remember there were those kids? And it's just like some of them would be halfway down the page.
Yeah.
And it's just like if there was an assignment or something, it's like, you big dum-dum.
Yeah,
this is not getting you a better grade.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I made a mistake, the teacher's gonna think nobody cares.
Dude, after a long assignment, my wrists would hurt. Like you gotta write multiple pages of stuff.
That's true.
It's different than typing.
And my hands would always get sweaty, so
sweaty.
I start smudging.
Yeah, you smudge it with your hand.
Very true, man.
Yeah.
Do you think left-handed people have any like distinct advantage? Like they obviously smudge way more.
I think the left people have, I think we've talked about it before, but I think left-handed people have an advantage in general, in a lot of things, whether it's
in sports,
yeah.
Well, in hockey and baseball, I suppose, because they're shooting the ball a little bit more, or like, what's your take on that?
Well, I think maybe just the direction at where they're coming across. It's not, you know, how much of the population is right-handed? Do you know?
I'm probably going to say 87%.
Really high, eh? Yeah.
But that's complete.
Jeff's left-handed. Do you know any other left-handed people?
I do, but I just can't remember.
Right.
Like they've probably mentioned it and I'm like, this doesn't affect me.
So the thing is,
let me bury that thought.
When you look at baseball, specifically,
yeah,
a lot of really, really good pitchers are left-handed.
Really?
And I would say more of a percentage of the best pitchers are left-handed than of the population. So I look at it like there's something here.
They have an advantage.
There's something here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But the funny thing is when you have the left-handed pitcher pitching to the left-handed batter,
yeah,
that left-handed batter has no chance.
Really? Because
the way the ball is coming in front of them,
yeah,
they're not good. It's interesting.
But I guess like sports, I wonder if there's any like actual pseudoscience that somebody who's left-handed is like more analytical or creative or something. You know what I mean? I bet you there's somebody who surveyed 10 people and they're like, this is my thesis now. And it's just like a half-baked theory.
I see a lot of those studies that they do nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's, you're like, you want to take something out of the study. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And like, yeah, the study was on 251 people. It's like, okay, that's not a study.
Okay, hold on.
You better be doing 10,000 people in your study.
100%.
Yeah, like you need a big...
100%.
Yeah.
Do you remember back in the day too, where you would have to find a few peer-reviewed sources for some kind of like an essay, right? And do you remember how funny it was or how frustrating it was when you were like really warping the one article to support your thesis?
Yeah.
It was like intro, point one, proof, you know? So you basically had to have like, I remember there's this one teacher who was a spaz and they're like, you need 3 different academic sources per point.
Yeah.
So you need a 9.
Yeah.
And so like by halfway through, you're like, okay, this is all a fib. Like this is a lie. So I hope in the future, nobody decides that they're going to peer review my shit.
Oh God.
Because we're just building on a very bad foundation.
Yes.
And I wonder, absolutely. And I wonder how many of those kids that ended up like that ended up going and getting a PhD and writing a thesis, stretching an article for a grade, because who's actually reading all that? So half the shit that we're quoting is nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a study that was done where people were orange. That's not right, but it's peer reviewed.
It's peer reviewed.
So that's
got to be good enough.
It's got to pass.
Yeah. How many people do you think around the world in the jobs they're in,
yeah,
are not qualified for the job?
Oh, massive amount, yeah, dude. Yeah. A massive majority of people,
yeah,
are walking around and they're still wondering if they're qualified after many, many years.
Like, not to take shots and not even going to bring politics into it at all, but like something more specific is to today's issues.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people are taking every nurse's opinions
on
maybe whether it's COVID or something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're anti-vaccine or whatever it is. I'm like, well, this nurse said that. It's like, okay, well, that nurse is literally just an everyday person.
That nurse is fresh.
That nurse does not know what he or she is talking
about. That nurse is fresh and dead. That nurse is so upside down. They'll tell you whatever they need to right
now. That nurse is reaching for clout.
Exactly. They just want to start. I'm sure there's a bunch of nurses that just have like Instagram accounts that are like 100K plus.
Gotta be.
But at one point,
OnlyFans account, gotta do it for the OnlyFans.
But right? At what point do you switch gears and you try and it's just such a natural, it's so bad that that's just a natural conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's wild that we're just,
yeah.
Yeah. That would literally be a thought process. Oh, we'll only do it for 6 months, mm-hmm, to pay off my student loans.
Yeah.
You get caught in the trap, bro.
So interesting enough, not to bring up, I won't because of TikTok. I know we've talked about this, of bringing up that that business's name, OF.
Yeah.
But with them, there was...
Oh, true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was a what would you call them? A sexual model.
Okay.
A popular sexual, sure, model.
Yeah.
Who became pregnant.
Okay.
Okay. And she's pregnant right now.
Okay.
And she got a lot of people... DMing her and messaging her on her Instagram and her platforms.
Yeah.
Because now she's not in that industry anymore.
Interesting.
And they basically said that your kid is going to get bullied growing up. And she didn't like that. She got really upset. You know, like her choice to have the kid. So people are just, you know, attacking her online and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So then not even a couple weeks later on Reddit, someone came forward. It's a kid, 13 years old, I believe.
Yeah.
And the kid is contemplating... offing himself.
Wow.
Because he's being bullied at school because his mom is doing OF.
Yeah.
And all the friends know about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's gotta be a tough way to grow up as a kid if people know about that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of public information,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
or private information that's now gone public.
But I don't even understand how that stuff gets out.
I don't know.
You know? Because there's so many people on that platform that we're speaking of.
Oh, dude, I'm
that
sure.
That are just, they're not even making much money.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I would love, like, I keep seeing ads, though, specifically for it, where they're like, hey, you should create one if you want to give cooking advice and have people subscribe to you. So here's the interesting thing. They take a 20% premium.
Okay.
There's literally no reason why they should compete with Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon basically will take like a 5 to 11% cut or 8 to 11% depending on what kind of tier that you have.
Does Patreon allow this sort of content?
No explicit content.
No explicit content. So that's why they're competing. Yeah.
But it's just interesting though that like but again, the marketing angle that they're trying to take now is like, hey, if you want to put cooking courses or like exclusive, you know, I don't want to say classroom or like educational videos, but just like if you want to be a chef personality, yeah, you're probably better off on a Patreon. Funny, dude? It's just like I see a lot of these new apps, like iterations of Cameo that are coming around now. Mm-hmm. A few of them are Canadian. And it just that seems like the fastest way to punch your ticket. Yeah. Because if you're doing that for money, like I'm sure these guys, like I've talked about this before with Big Ed. I know I keep bringing him up.
Yeah.
But he basically is on, you know, he's probably, I can't remember how much he charges, $50, whatever per video, but he's probably making like $100,000 a year in American money.
That's pretty impressive.
Off of that alone, which is amazing. It's better than probably 90%
he's already made American citizens.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, at what point do you realize like, hey, I've hit a certain level of fame. I could probably find other ways to monetize myself rather than just kind of sell out. And because I feel like once you've basically cashed in on that, you know, like, what is it? Deal or no deal? Like Price is Right. Who wants to be a millionaire? Do you want to lock in or do you want to keep going?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could have been like the one higher. It's like, you're taking the safe route.
The safe route. It's what a lot of people do obviously. Right.
Yeah.
It's human tendency to take a safe route for most people, the majority.
So at what point are we going to tap out and be like, okay, Mike, we got to sell ourselves to the sponsorship. Because that's going to happen.
You're talking about,
for us.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's different. It's totally different.
Yeah, it's different. That's a little different. Yeah, I agree with you.
I would love to get sponsored by a jerky company.
You love your jerky, huh?
I like it, but I haven't eaten in a while.
Okay. But we talked about if that we do that down the road, we're going to do something that we rock with.
For sure. Definitely, guys, because we forgot we're on TikTok, at least I did. If we if we're running that route, probably we're gonna make our own product, and that way, you know, we're 100% behind it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the cool route to go. But
yep.
Yeah.
So interesting topic change.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I was telling you a little bit this bit earlier, but we didn't really talk about it or get into it. I was reading a thing, a fun fact: restaurants are offering you larger forks.
Yeah.
At the dining tables when you're in there. Because when they give you smaller forks, it tends to lead to people not eating as much. Because
that's insane.
Because of the human psyche of, you know, you take 5 bites with that smaller fork versus take 5 bites of that bigger fork, you're putting more on that bigger fork. But 5 bites still feels like 5 bites. And you look at the meal and you're like, there's so much more left in this. I can't eat this.
So hold on. You think a smaller fork is better? Or
I think a smaller fork is better for us personally, for our health, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be overeating. So much of our issues is we overeat.
Well, that's the thing. Like your portion size like is so relative to your plate size, right? Yeah. So the bigger the plate, the more food you take. This is like, again, peer-reviewed study. We don't know how true it was, but well-documented to some degree. I'm sure it has been.
At least 350 people in the survey.
At least. But like if you have a little plate of, you know, crackers, let's just say, or cookies, versus a big plate of cookies, you usually are just going to end up filling the plate. If you have a glass of a drink of something, how high are you filling it? To the height of the glass.
Yeah.
It's just what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So
it's always best, in my opinion, to choose the smaller ones.
I'm saying it right here. One of the first pieces of merch we make, we're getting into the plate business.
You think that's a successful
one? Dinner plates, dude.
Damn.
Custom dinner plates. People will go absolutely wild.
Huddle talk
plates. But dude, we're going to hit it up with every design. You're going to have leopard print. You're going to have like plant print. You could have stripes.
I'd buy the
plant. You could have lumberjack plates.
The plant print, yeah.
But dude, imagine it. I feel good. You eat off it every day. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a lazy piece of shit, eat Uber Eats. Eat it off a nice plate.
That's right.
Yeah, don't eat it out of the plastic containers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Everybody could use a good plate. What are we're rocking right now. I think the plates we brought in this house, I've been using white plates for so long. I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's time for something new.
Yeah. You've been using my blue ones.
I love them.
Yeah, they're good. I like them.
And you have really good knives.
What's that? The knives?
The knives, like the steak knives are good.
I'm nice with them. I'm not going to lie.
You're nice with them, dude. Yeah.
That's maybe we need to get, maybe what people need to start doing is their, when you open a box of cookies,
yeah,
get a small plate, put a few cookies on it.
That's it.
Because you know when you
and open have a up shot glass plate, of milk, just a shot glass,
just a shot glass, yeah. Right? Watch how much milk you're drinking. Yeah, because you know when you open that box of cookies, if it's Oreos, chocolate chip, whatever,
yeah,
you're eating a whole row minimum
for sure.
If at least if you're a guy, I think guys obviously eat a little more
for sure.
And then what's stopping you from row two?
That's true. I know, and this is something I remember we were talking about a couple days ago with Kamar.
Yeah.
You open a thing of cookies.
Especially if you're high.
Exactly. It's dangerous. If you open a thing of cookies, yeah, and you're halfway through the row,
yeah,
you're going to finish the row.
Yeah.
You have to do it for symmetry.
Is that, yeah, I was going to say, is that like OCD? you can't look at.
I think people are liberal with the use of the OCD, but I think it's just an easy way to justify, like, oh, I have OCD. I got to eat. No,
it's like an just Instagram bio description.
It's like you don't have OCD. You just don't have willpower.
There you go.
That's the separation.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we have those rice crackers that are super good for like those dips.
Yeah.
And it's like, if there's two left, just finish them, you jerk.
Yeah.
There's people that are starving out there. Just eat your food.
Bro, we've all grown up, right?
Yeah.
And our parents told you, you're not leaving the dinner till you finish that. There's children starving in Africa.
Yeah.
They all use that same saying, right?
I was whack, man.
Yeah. I don't understand.
There's children starving.
That's not going to change.
Well, that.
Maybe just serve me a little less. Like when you're a kid.
Exactly. As far as, yeah. Watch the portions,
like,
mom.
Watch the portions. Why am I eating so much? Like,
and the thing is too, it's like there's kids probably 5 minutes away that are starving too, mom.
Yeah.
Why are you making me fat?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just give it to them.
Yeah. There's kids starving over here. So we're going to make you fat.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
Exactly. There's not enough recess in the day to burn off these calories, mom.
No.
This is what I talked about with, I can't remember who I was talking to. I think I was talking about Vince. I was talking with Vince about this in the food pyramid. Do you remember how bullshit the food pyramid was?
Oh my God, I hated that.
So first of all, for them to decide the perfect shape for a food pyramid being a triangle, what a convenient thing. Let's just fit it all into this triangle. Square is no good.
No.
The circle, too round.
Yeah.
Right? Triangle, 3 points, just right. You know? And so basically you have the bottom layered with, like, I love how back in the day they're like fruits and vegetables are the most important. Okay, fair. Mm. Then there's like grain. It's like, okay, like I guess it's important. Carbs, rice, grains, oats, you know. Then there's dairy. And it's just like, wait, people are lactose intolerant. So imagine a guy like Kamar growing up and seeing that, wait, like if I don't have dairy, I will die.
Yeah.
You're being taught this in kindergarten. Like, mommy, I have to eat the cheese and the milk, but I will poop myself.
Yeah.
No, Kamar, we have to find other ways to substitute your diet. Right? Like tell me people were not lactose intolerant 20, 30 years ago. I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
So for somebody to just stick it in, their parents must have been lactose intolerant. They said, fuck you, mom. I'm going to be a great food fucking scientist. Right?
Don't kill me.
And then what was at the top? And it's funny because I think meat was like, this is one of the smallest things at the top. And it's just like, well, meat protein should probably be a little bit heavier to the bottom, but what do I know?
Mm.
Right?
Could you see yourself being a vegetarian in the future?
That requires a very, like,
that requires willpower, you think?
It's beyond that. First of all, there's a cost difference for sure.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to, like, it's not like I'm just going to eat rabbit food. Like, I still want to eat hearty. I'm going to be paying a little bit more for those substitutes, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too about being vegetarian is there's this assumption a lot of people have that it will be healthier. Sure, your cholesterol may go down because you're eating less red meat in that sense. Mm-hmm. And you can start to try and justify that. But then you're like, okay, well, I'm into tahinis and hummuses and stuff like that. And it's like, wait, there's a lot of calories in that. And like the peanut spreads and you know, the cashew oil and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just like, hold on, guys. Like, you know, there's a lot of calories in this. Mm-hmm. And the coconut milk.
Coconut milk. Yeah.
A huge amount of calories. Yeah, it's just like, wait, guys, you guys are substituting a lot of protein for a lot more fat. So I think if I was to go vegan, you would have to make sure that you have your meals prepped.
Right.
I'm not going to spend the time doing that. just knowing myself. How about you?
No, I would be the same way. That's kind of why I asked, because I wanted to see. Another thing I was going to ask is how many vegans today do you think are vegans for health purposes versus not wanting to eat meat or harm animals?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would probably say a lot of them are just for the second reason.
Yeah.
Don't want to hurt animals. Yeah. Don't want, you know, there's so much more too. It's just the idea of not like the way that land is just kind of used for mass farming, or I should say mass meat production and all that. Mass like meat
production, yeah.
Like slaughterhouses and all that. I guess the CO2 emissions behind all those extra, you know, cows that are raised, like, it's beyond the kind of the human rights side of things. It's interesting though, like, I don't know how this exactly segues in, but on channel 43, whatever that is, Animal Planet.
And way back.
Not like I've even watched that in 15 years.
Yeah. Cable days.
But yeah, I remember there's always these documentaries on those orangutans in it's Cambodia or Indonesia, just that area, that pocket, right? Okay. All of those orangutans live in these like sprawling jungles, right?
Okay.
Apparently that's like the number one place in the world where palm oil is grown, or the plant palm, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever the plant is, forgive my ignorance, but that's used in pretty much every single like fast food snack, like Oreos, the first ingredient is like sugar and palm oil, like a lot of vegan substitutes. So that's really interesting. So a lot of vegans will tell you that basically you could be a vegan, but then you're also going to be the type of vegan to avoid palm oil, because all of a sudden, if you're substituting your diet with a lot of heavy palm oil products, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
It's just like you'll have a conversation with another vegan who will say, like, you know that that's happening, right? Mm-hmm. And this is contributing, you being a vegan is contributing to the deforestation of orangutans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many levels. And like, are you eating fish? Are you eating cheese? Right?
Yeah, you have those ones too that they'll still eat fish. And I don't quite understand that, what the difference is.
Well, the thing is, that's probably one of the worst things for the environment.
Yeah.
Just the mass farming of fish and catching. You were saying something about the grocery stores. Wow. It's like we plan this stuff.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. I was saying earlier that fish.
Yeah.
Around the world, it's almost 50%
of
fish they're finding is labeled incorrectly in grocery stores.
Yeah.
So people are buying salmon that's, guess what, not salmon. And so they've started doing some work into this.
That's disgusting.
Penalize people. But yeah, no matter, like, salmon isn't even one of the most popular ones that's mislabeled, but they're finding too that they were intentionally mislabeled to, you know, upmark in prices, sell them for something that's
sneaky.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got these health risks too that come with a lot of these things. If someone's buying something that they don't know what it is, it's actually messed up that in 2021 something like that's happening.
Dude, the crazy thing that I also saw, which is really interesting, back in the day, margarine was created because somebody realized that you don't have to use milk.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It started, I can't remember whether, I think it was sometime in World War One or World War Two. And the reason it was created is because somebody realized that the rations could be used for cheese or dairy for the soldiers. So all the milk, I could be totally lying, but I can't remember. But it's a good story. Yeah, exactly. But all the milk was basically, you know, used to, you know, support the soldiers and all that jazz. So anyways, people started turning to margarine. Post-World War One, this is where things get interesting. A lot of people started complaining because margarine, if you look at it unprocessed, well, you know, without the coloring, which is what I'm getting to, it just looks like a white, like, lard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what they started doing is they started adding yellow dye to margarine.
Okay.
So I watch a really interesting video on YouTube. It's fantastic, man. The amount of information you can learn is just like, you can't rival it. So it goes on, the point being, to talk about how margarine, there's a huge war between the butter and the margarine industry because there was propaganda about how margarine's bad for you. There's food dye and all that. Did you know the FDA literally sets the color for almost all the food plants and vegetables and meats.
Yeah, I do know that.
Everything is dyed. Every single food you get in North America is injected with dye.
It's crazy, man.
Fish do not look like that. They're dyed. Like salmon, margarine is dyed, everything. So point being, you know, back to the fish article, that's just like, if they even, like, imagine there's a fish that kind of doesn't look like salmon because maybe it was mislabeled. Somebody's going to be like, yeah, well, this should be the color of the grade. And that's another easy way to just fool and pass that test. Mm-hmm. Because a sniff test, it's just fish, right? Like, you can't really get around that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just crazy knowing that, like, salmon, when you look at, like, an undyed version of it, and God knows, a mass farm, like, I'm sure wild salmon is beautiful pink, like actual wild salmon. Yeah. But the ones that are produced in the farms look like zombie salmon, basically, yeah. Which is nasty.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, man. Can't imagine what we would think if we saw the original looks of a lot of the food we eat. What we would think, how we'd react. It has to be pretty for us, right? It has to look good.
Yeah, we're so weird, man.
We are. And that's another thing I was saying to you too. That another weird thing about humans is that we are the only animals on Earth that eat and enjoy spicy foods. So why? Why is that? The thrill? Like,
that seems hard to believe though. I feel like there's monkeys somewhere. I believe in the world.
National Geographic or something like
are
that.
Are we peer reviewing them though? Who's actually checking the facts?
I don't know. If there's a few things I can trust, it's at least something like that. But no, like, well, what animals do you know? Like, if you gave that your cat or your dog or a gorilla or whatever, you give them spicy food, even like one taste on the tongue, and they're like,
they hate it.
Yeah. They're like, what the hell is
this?
But us,
we do like the spicy.
Yeah, and I don't understand. It's like, yeah, I love the feel. I love the heartburn, or I love, you know, the taste is good. I'm not going to lie. And that's, but it's just whether you can get beyond that taste versus.
Yeah, risk reward.
Yeah,
the risk-reward. Basically. I don't know. I've never really thought about that. Obviously, like, it's funny you hear stories of monkeys and animals eating the mushrooms and, you know, going on those little trips and eating the berries or whatever they are, right? So it's funny that animals will do that and they'll willingly get high off their fucking tits, but they won't eat spicy food.
Spicy food.
Yuck. But you know what's crazy to think about? Like,
so privileged.
I know we're just talking about National Geographic. I think one of the craziest jobs in the world would be being one of those photographers.
I think I love photography myself. I think that would be wild. Like,
should we do that for a month and just vlog the whole thing? What's up, guys? Today's day 7. We're out here in the Himalayas.
It's got to be so tough.
Mentally stressful.
Mentally stressful. And the pressure you have that you have to come back with.
It's complete luck.
Yeah.
It's complete chance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they do take, well, I shouldn't say takes, but, you know, they're out there and out there and out there until they finally get that one of the grizzly bear catching the fish or, you know.
The thing is, too, I feel like now there's no prestige in it. Because back in the day, that's going to be a photo that really shapes the way people think, right? Mm-hmm. It's groundbreaking. I think the problem is now with the internet. Imagine you just spent 3 weeks and it's your third expedition because the first two, you didn't catch anything. You didn't get any photos.
Yep.
The third one, you finally get this insane photo of a wolf howling at the moon. Classic.
Oh.
Let's just pretend. You take the photo, you put it to National Geographic, they pay you $40,000. Like, I don't even know what they're paying. And it's like,
I think their photographers get paid bare money. But
hold on. Let's just say they get $50,000.
Okay.
For the amount of stress that takes for one photo, you don't know if you're going to get another photo, right? That's number one. You don't know if you could go on 3 more expeditions or you get another photo that nets you the bag. The other thing is, imagine how pissed you'd be knowing that you take that photo and it ends up on some kind of a meme page or some other website. 2 years later with no credit. I would probably become depressed.
Yeah.
Realistically. Yeah.
Well, like, probably angry, pissed. I don't know.
I would be pretty angry, man.
Do you think they must, like, on their expeditions or trips, they must all be paid for by companies? There's no way they gotta pay all that out of pocket themselves. No.
Here's the thing. The journey to becoming one of those photographers.
Yeah, sure. You got to do that.
You got to do that on your own to begin with.
Until before you make it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Anybody can get a photo now. I guarantee there's people who would just be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? But again, we're built on speculation here in this podcast factory, in the studio, in the lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. We were talking about fruits earlier too.
Are you a berry guy?
I love berries. You like berries? We got some in the.
I know Chelsea was just good. Picked them.
Super good.
Yeah, it's
better than grocery store.
That's for sure. Yeah. I think berries are great. I like blueberries and raspberries.
Yeah.
And
sorry, I took all mine to work today.
No, that's okay. I was gonna say there's probably a zillion berry types, but we just don't know. I'm not that brave enough.
True. Blackberries, I don't rate them. Those are the only berries I don't like.
They're a little bit seedy, right?
Well, I wouldn't know, but I don't know about seedy. I just think they're kind of like more like. And this is stupid and it's wrong, but I almost think like soury kind of to them.
Fair.
Yeah. And I don't like sour. I've said that multiple times before. Sour isn't my thing.
But you like spicy?
But I like spicy.
There's animals out there that like sour.
Yeah, that's true. Cute faces.
Man, I wish I could remember right now because I know that there's a great fact about macaws.
What the hell is a macaw?
A macaw is like I don't know if this is right taxonomy, but a parrot. Right? Okay. You know the thing that's like red with the golden feathers and all that?
Yeah.
They do something. What do they eat out of the side of the mountains? They do something pretty impressive. And I remember the reason I bring that up is obviously because of National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that they eat in the side of these mountains. And mm-hmm. there's just something impressive about it. But you're going to have to take my word for it.
I usually do.
You're going to have to take my word for it.
Unless it just sounds like major cap.
Yeah, unless it's like a Sean theory. Or I heard it from Sean first. No, we didn't hear from Sean. This is real. But yeah, I remember there used to be some cool photos. I'd only ever really see those magazines in like the barbershop though.
Yeah, those would you read the magazines in the barbershop?
Yeah, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, dude. You just kind of, yeah.
You go through.
It's like looking at your phone in a party.
That's the thing.
You don't feel like you belong
at. What did you do back in the day without a phone to use as a crutch?
We forget about these things. I have a terrible memory when it comes to things from like 15, 20 years ago.
I don't believe you. I think you remember things. We got to find ways to bring you back. We got to work with like a therapist with you live on the podcast.
I wish, bro. People tell me about things, you know, my brother, sister, whatever. Do you remember this when we were 7, 8 years old?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, no. Like,
not at all.
I remember my friends at that time and stuff like that, but I don't remember. I only remember certain events. Who knows? Maybe that's a thing with certain people. They just, their brain kind of starts canceling.
I think a lot of what happens though is you just kind of like forget how to get back to that part. That's mm-hmm. all. It's still there. It's just like you can't remember what key.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, like, you know, I know people joke around, they see memory unlocked, but I think that's probably the truth. It's like all of a sudden that synapse fires, right? That's the thing about smells. Mm. A lot of time, all of a sudden you smell something and you're like taken instantly back.
Yeah.
Whether it's a fragrance or, you know, a particular scent, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's why I think Christmas is so cool. Because as soon as you smell.
Oh.
What are the smells of Christmas? Like a pine tree, the cinnamon, the cloves.
Yeah, I was about to say cinnamon.
The clove candles.
Yeah, cloves. Yeah. Yeah, cinnamon would be my number one, I think. Cinnamon's very Christmassy.
Can we take cinnamon away from Christmas? Can we make
I don't know.
Can we associate Christmas, that with something else? In a good way. Yeah. In a good way. You know, speaking of that, dude, I hate candles that tell you they're a certain scent and they smell that way. Then as soon as they start to burn, you don't smell anything.
Yeah, why does it die so quickly?
I don't know, because I just got that candle upstairs.
That smelled great.
It smelled great.
Yeah.
Was
that cinnamon?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But then maybe I just became nose blind to it. You know, like the Febreze commercials?
Mm-hmm.
You become nose blind. I'm sure I did become nose blind to it.
Yeah.
Just become nose blind to the odors or the good smells.
Do you like, we were talking about Christmas. Do you like Christmas music?
I don't like it.
Yeah. Wow. It sounded like you were going to say, I love it.
Well, that's the thing is like, I just want to be difficult a lot of the time.
Some people were brought up on too much Christmas music as kids. Like there's so much of it around that they just hate it. And then maybe some learn to love it.
Do you like it?
I do. But I think that the malls and the people that start listening to it 2 months before Christmas, they need to go. Like that's psycho stuff.
I think, yeah, some of the people... when they're listening to it, it's like, wait, like nobody likes it that much.
Yeah.
Like there's a time and a place, but don't start rocking it in November.
Let's wait till December 1st at least.
Exactly.
Like, December 1st, go on ahead, put up the lights. Get the decorations.
Dude, I keep wanting to make a video with you where I pull up in a car blasting Christmas music, like on a 33 degree day. And we do some weird handshake. How you greet the homies. Just, I've always wanted to like, I've had dreams about this, like owning a massive cottage.
Mm, of course.
And just putting on Christmas music on like a summer afternoon when there's a big party there. Turn it off.
Dude.
No.
It's so much hate. Quickest way to lose all your attendees at the party.
But bro, you imagine the vibe is really good. You guys are all out on the boat. And then you just start playing Christmas. What the heck? Turn it off. I think the funny thing about that is you do that and just kind of like as a meme, but then as soon as you change the song, you'd be like, that was a weird vibe. Mm-hmm. Like it'll linger for a second.
But see, that is something that I would remember 20 years later.
True. Because
that's a thing that sticks out.
It's a major, yeah, like an uncomfortable vibe. How come, you know, so when you Halloween, there's haunted houses mm-hmm. and there's like jump scares. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine another dimension where there was like Christmas, like haunted houses?
Scary
but
stuff?
But it's like, but they weren't scary. Like you just walk through a maze full of Christmas bullshit. And there's like little elves in the factory. Like, I don't understand. Like
some people would be scared by that. The people that hate Christmas.
But I'm not talking about doing in the dark with strobe lights and like, you know,
yeah,
the zombie elf is going to get, no, like, dude, no, all of a sudden you're like walking through, like, cause all haunted houses are like themed. Like you'll go through like a zombie mm-hmm. one or like a, you know, like yeah, Universal Horror Nights, right? Not that I've ever been, but I've seen a lot of YouTube videos of the walkthroughs, right? And you watch them and it's just like, imagine that like that was a thing that like during December, the Christmas carnival, everybody would roll up all the carnies. They'd bring out their Christmas trailers and you'd do like a walkthrough of Santa's workshop. And then you do like a walkthrough of like the North Pole, like outside.
I'd do it.
It's kind of a vibe.
I would do it 100%.
And instead of nachos, you're getting like cookies and eggnog stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's just same thing too. Like you have a bullshit pumpkin maze. You know, corn mazes are cool.
Corn mazes are cool.
I'm stupid for saying.
Don't.
But that's sick. But why can't you have one during Christmas? Nobody really does a maze during Christmas.
Yeah, there's just certain things that are like, yeah, not allowed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah, corn maze. Or wait, corn mazes. By the time Christmas comes around, the weather's not. Corn would be.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, imagine somebody made that out of snow. It's like 10 times the amount of work. Like corn, they're making the maze once they've already harvested the corn. So it's just like they're about to plow the whole thing. Yeah. Somebody just carefully went through with like a machine.
Yeah.
But like it'd kind of be cool if there was like snow mazes. I guess.
I would do it. Yeah. It's another thing to at least be outside during the crappy weather.
Yeah. Like, and obviously that's the exact reason, because of the seasonality of corn, but that just would be cool if that was associated with Christmas.
What do you think about when you see like those videos, if you've ever seen them, photos of like people in LA, you know, they've got their snow machines or whatever, and they build something for Christmas and they're like in their winter coats and like 20 degree Celsius weather.
Every TV show growing like, up on the Family Channel.
Yeah, on the Family Channel. California. Yeah. It's like, you guys do not know. Like everyone loves the image of snow, but they don't like dealing with the snow.
I don't even want to talk about that right now.
We're on our summer bullshit right now.
And you're trying to bring up slush and salt?
No, I never slush and salt.
But that's immediately where my brain goes. And I don't even want to talk about it because I know we could.
Got you.
I'm trying to be on my summer bullshit vibe.
Yeah, I agree. Hot boy summer.
I keep hearing white boy summer.
That's
and I know we're two white guys, so I'm going to be careful.
That's a troublesome subject.
Channel 5 clips. So you know All Gas No Brakes?
Yeah, of course.
You know he got fucked over by the company?
What?
That he was working with. Basically, here's a deal. Here's a story. This is rough paraphrase, but you're going to have to take it. He basically graduated school, said with a degree in journalism, said, I want to be a journalist, right? And he said, you know what? I want to tour America. He started working with this one company. They provided the camera and they provided the van. Or at some point, maybe he rented the van.
Okay.
The contract that he signed for the year while he was doing All Gas No Brakes and exploded, they decided this is all of ours.
Oh.
So All Gas No Brakes is technically, I think it's a copyright of this other company that basically said, here's the camera, here's the car. So he was under this like, you know, goodwill precedent that like, hey, you know, these guys want to help me out, we'll split but they basically stole his whole brand.
That's a cold world.
They stole his whole brand. So now he's doing something called Channel 5 Clips.
Okay, that's
Channel 5 News. Hilarious. Yeah. Still the same guy. He's already growing like crazy.
It's actually awesome. Yeah, it's actually funny you said that, because in my head the last little while I've thought, man, I have not seen any All Gas No Brakes, and
that's because they fucked him
in a while. That's really interesting. Cold world, man. That's messed up.
But dude, the crazy thing about that is obviously he's back on his feet, so good for him. Mm-hmm. But he was just in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Doing?
What do you think?
Just
out on the town, hitting out the people at the bars, doing some street reporting. You guys are out the first night since COVID. Are you wearing a mask, right? I just saw the highlight clips, like the 2 minutes in Fort Lauderdale. And dude, it's really funny. And two dudes come up to him and they say, "It's a white boy summer."
What was his reaction?
Well, he's wearing the mask. Yeah, so he just kind of looks at the camera. Like he does his thing. He looks at the camera. And there's this one dude, he's in Miami. He's talking to some like kid who's all, for some reason, everybody who comes up to my microphone, there's like an 80% chance they will start rapping.
Why, Miami or anywhere, dude.
And I really want to test that out.
Yeah.
Drunk people, when you have a microphone, they're either going to call somebody out or start rapping.
Yeah. How did rap become the mainstream portion of music in our society? Like, how do you think that, like, it happened around Eminem time, right?
I think so, because yeah, dude, you had, like, we could go through the whole genre, the history. That would be cool to have, like, a really big music nerd on.
Yeah, yeah.
And talk, just, like, and talk ask about them that. About everything. Yeah, yeah, that would be cool if they knew, like, really in depth.
But, like, even people, the thing with rap is, like, and I'm not attacking rap, but even the people who aren't really into rap.
Yeah.
Elite, like, pretend they are.
Yeah.
Like, it's the cool thing to, or like,
it's the mainstream. It's the mainstream.
Yeah. And it's so strange how that became a thing.
Yeah. Like, it's like the hardest thing you can bump in a car.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? It's
like,
if you have a cool car, that's what you want people
it's like,
to know that you listen to.
It's the safe thing that you know.
Nobody's going to make fun of you.
Exactly. No one's going to make fun of you for listening to this. Put on some indie? Hell no.
They'll be like, yeah, why are you in your feels? Why are you in my business?
Why in your feels? I just want to talk about guns and prostitutes. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, man, it's weird that there's, you know, top 40 stuff. Like, I think that's obviously handcrafted in like a laboratory.
Yeah.
Pretty much with, you know, the beats. But I think people make it out to something a bigger deal than it is. Like, top 40 songs, the repetition is like they're repeating everything at least three times in every single top 40 song. Mm-hmm. The beat, the lyrics, the verse, like... It's funny because you listen to like oldies music that like your parents used to play. You're like, I love this song. Yeah. And then you go back and you listen to it now. You're like, wait, they're just saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it's not, the music back then is not nearly as good as people like.
No, then like, again, nostalgia.
They used to tell, it's nostalgia again. They used to tell stories. It was poetry.
No, it wasn't even that good.
No, like, yeah, man. Like even Beatles stuff. Like
there's like, it so was much simple.
It's simple.
The one thing that I will make a comment on is I think the recording quality is something that I would love to have a really good, like if I had the money, I would have a $10,000 like speaker system, which probably isn't even like, I'm sure there's $100,000 ones, right? A really good receiver, an analog set with records. When you listen to like, not to be a snob, but when you actually listen to like a record on vinyl, it's insane how much more atmospheric it is in a room.
I believe it because everyone that I know like says that and I'm not a record guy, but I have always thought about getting a record player and just start purchasing some records.
Dude,
I feel like that's a vibe.
I have a whole box of them.
That's awesome.
But the only thing is you need like, you pretty much, if you're going to spend $30 on a vinyl, then you need at least like a $300 record player.
Oh, it's an expensive thing to enjoy, but.
And then you need good speakers. Like I 100% though, like if I had some free money right now, that's something that I would do. Mm-hmm. The vibe would be nice. Like if you were to listen to Commodore's Night Shift, you know that song? Father, Father, you on the night shift.
I don't know.
Dude, I just skipped like halfway through the song in that little part there. But if I was to play you Commodore's Night Shift, gonna be a sweeper.
Oh, of course I know that. Right. Yeah, of course. Okay,
on the night shift.
That hits nice on the vinyl.
Okay, so you don't know where the sound starts and your body begins.
Really?
Because the vibrations, especially like... If you have like a really good, the best part is, this is why I always laugh going back to rap, really, really good sound systems, you feel the bass, but it's not like, it's not thumping. Mm-hmm. It's a part of, you know, a frequency range where everything is just as important, right? The highs and the mids, but a lot of speakers and headphones you have, they just pronounce the low end because people just want to hear the thump because that's the music that they listen to, right? But anyways, if you have a really good system, like it's amazing, dude. If you're like super in the zone and you were listening to that, you wouldn't even know, like you, because it's like vibrating everything so confidently, like a really strong sound system. Mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like aggressive, and it's just, dude, like, oh, you feel it on, like, you feel the music. It's insane.
Yeah.
Not to be as cheesy as I could be about that, but yeah, really good system like that with some records. Holy smokes. But it sounds like it's live. It, like, it just sounds like it's over, like, being played live, like right behind you.
I like that, though. That's cool.
It's a crazy feeling.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, we kind of are getting to that post-pandemic part in Canada, but even around the world, like when concerts are a full go everywhere.
Yeah, dude.
People are going to be flocking to them, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go numerous people's concerts.
I miss them, dude. And especially, too, I think there's going to be some bangers coming out. Like all the big festivals, I think, have been pushed back to the beginning of 2022. But there's obviously going to be some tours that still have to be cleaned up from 2019 and 20, or whenever that was.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So 2020. But yeah, man, there's a few that we were looking forward to, but concerts are a fun time.
They absolutely are.
What's the best concert you've been to?
Not Rick Ross. That's that much I know.
You guys both have a bad experience, you and Khaled, with Rick Ross.
Well, we went together.
Oh yeah.
And it was the story, short story is basically that myself and Jeff got him tickets because Rick Ross at the time was his favorite artist. He was always bumping Rick Ross.
Really?
So he had never been to
a get disrespected
yeah.
by him.
Yeah. Oh, that hurts. Right? But that wasn't until later. Yeah. That wasn't until later.
What you looking at?
Yeah, what you looking at, boy? Homeboy.
What you looking at?
But no, me and Jeff got him tickets. It was here in Toronto. We went to the Rick Ross concert. He was hyped as hell.
Yeah.
I think the start time was at like 10 p.m. on like a Thursday night.
Don't
or something
tell me he didn't
like
show up till 12.
Yeah, he was so late. The concert didn't start until like 12:30.
What an asshole.
And then it went to like 2:30 or something. I don't even remember. I was so tired. Hated the whole thing because honestly, I'm not even into Rick Ross then or now. And it was just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Khaled was like, we'd said multiple times because the it wasn't that he was like just chilling, like he wasn't even at this place yet.
Yeah.
And they kept having to come out and be like, hey, he'll be here, like he's on his way, he's only 20 minutes, and then 40 minutes later,
that's so bullshit.
Hey, he'll be
dude.
Here, he's only 20 minutes, and it's like, what is this, Rick Ross or Kamar? Come on now. Kamar, we know you're not here, but we're still gonna roast you. But that was annoying, and I hate that vibe, especially when you
around drunk people that are sobering up too. That's the worst feeling because everybody just starts getting ornery and lineups at the bathroom and pissy. And
I'm sure the vendors are just hoping like Jesus keep selling them alcohol, like so that they're.
But
okay
even
with
but even then, dude, I thought Last Call was. I don't even remember.
I don't. Yeah.
When would Last Call be? Who knows? But anyways.
I don't know.
But I swear I asked you the best concert. You just told me the worst.
No, I know. I laughed. I said, Anna, best concert I've been to. ASMR people.
Do me a favor when you tell the concert story, talk in the deepest voice you have.
the best concert I've ever been to was maybe the Arkells here in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah, maybe the Arkells. I haven't been to a ton of concerts.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, especially right when the pandemic hit, I started wanting to go to more. And I'm a big indie fan. Like after maybe university, when I kind of stopped listening to the more mainstream rap, pop, whatever, top 40s, I started to transfer over to indie, alternative, rock sort of things.
Yeah.
Even like the softer stuff where it's like indie pop or just pop or indie rock.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like Arkells or that. Then you have like your folk, like Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, which has kind of gone more mainstream now.
But dude, their older albums,
the older Mumford and Sons albums with like the banjos.
Oh my
all
God,
that,
dude.
Nothing.
If like, you crank it with
so
a good
little,
edible on
I would
that?
Love. I would love to go to like a Mumford and Sons concert
That'd be
where
wild.
They're playing like all the early stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of the few guys, I love Coldplay stuff.
Yeah.
I would go to a Coldplay, like once this is all over, especially over in like the UK or something.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to like a massive venue like
That'd be
Coldplay
cool.
like all those things like I would love or like a nice rock concert
yeah
like, totally rock out like what about you
best concert I've been to I don't know man I obviously listen to like metal
yeah I know you do
I don't know there's a few good mosh pits I've been in but I always hurt myself so I don't remember I think one was the best until I hurt myself But I've been at a ton of festivals.
How'd you hurt yourself?
I fuck up my knee every time.
Really?
Yeah, because like I'm in the mosh pit like looking for problems.
You're one of the few guys looking, that probably doesn't need drugs to just go mental.
No.
Like, yeah.
I go in there looking for problems.
Yeah.
And it's only a matter of time. And it's just like, I don't care who you are. You could be the most jacked dude in the world. At a certain point, because dipshits will throw their empty beer cans in and get the floor all slippery.
Yeah.
It's like a skating rink. So it's only a matter of time before the slightest knock smacks you. And my knee always messes up, man.
Oh, shit, eh?
Yeah.
So stay away from the metal.
Yeah.
It's only bad.
Well, I still like being on the edge of it. Because like problems when I go in, I'll go in. Like, I'm not.
What's the biggest misconception about heavy rock or metal, both the music and the figure?
I think people, for some reason, they're all hung up on saying you don't even understand what the person's saying. That's always the first comment. But my response to that is like, okay, like first of all, they're speaking English. English is a language. You can break that down. There's rules to it.
Mm-hmm.
Being somebody who, listen, I did music in high school. I understood music theory. I could play a couple instruments. I equate it to that being like, it's part of the music where it's an element of the music as if it's another instrument a lot of the time. Okay. So it's just like, my argument to you is like, do you have to know what note somebody's singing, or do you have to know what key that song is in to enjoy it? No, you don't have to know it's an A minor. You know what I mean? Or what the chord progression is and all that. And that's kind of like, maybe it's like a halfway dance around the argument, but that's something that people always say, you don't understand what they're saying. Well, it's just like, again, you don't have to. That's like saying you can't enjoy a song if it's not in English.
Yeah.
Because I speak English. Yeah. It's like, there's a ton of great songs. You don't know what they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You know? Just the sound. Yeah, everything.
99 Elf Ballon. Doesn't mean I can't sing the hook.
Everyone's literally just going na na na
na na na na
na na na na na. 99% of the population.
99 Luft Ballons.
But they love.
99. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, everybody always gives that old argument. Oh, you can't understand it. Oh,
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest. The biggest misconception with music is with the heavy metal listeners and music.
Yeah.
And honestly, the way, and again, it's also not a genre that I'm necessarily like really into.
Yeah.
It's just me personally. Everyone's different. But I view it the same way that I view people who don't really listen to rap and look at rap. It's like, okay, well, guess what? Rappers aren't really that easy to understand too.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you've got like someone who's really
well. You can't understand the Migos.
Like especially especially today's like trap music. Like, yeah. What are they even saying? And it's whatever. Rap fans love it because they understand something behind it too.
That's true. Like the beginning of Fuck Up Some Commas. That's just some picture you don't know. Like, tell me who actually didn't have to search up the lyrics for that real quick.
Everyone. Right? I feel bad for the person who had to put the lyrics up on like somewhere. Like, okay, what did I hear?
Yeah, but man, a lot of those concerts are fun. But it's funny that like people will tuck you into those buckets. That's why like, yeah, I listen to a lot of that music, but I listen to other stuff too, right?
Are you sure? That's just the one that stands out, so they label you with it.
Yeah, and it's funny. Like, I obviously on the podcast, I've made a point to kind of wear some of those shirts.
Sure.
Just because I thought it was kind of funny because nobody's really doing that. I'm like, how come there's nobody, like, they're all, like, again, not a knock, but, you know, one of the bigger ones, No Jumper.
Mm-hmm.
I only interviews R&B or hip-hop dudes, which is totally cool. Charlamagne, hip-hop dudes, totally cool. Mm-hmm. Again, like, I love it. Those guys are awesome. They're great interviewers, great formats, great shows.
Yeah, I agree.
But they're just not, you know, question I would ask is if rock was the most popular, metal was the most popular, would they have those shows where they're interviewing those guys? Like in Europe too, you go to Europe. I've never been. TikTok, so whoopsie.
Whoops.
But anyways, you see that it's like a complete flip. Like the metal festivals they have where they're massive, right? There's such a huge culture like that over in Germany and Norway and you know, all those countries, their metal scene's insane. So I imagine that's like, you know, if there's a famous radio DJ or show over there, a lot of them, if
I'm
you know,
sure. Yeah.
You know, they're interviewing those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Europe. I'm sure there's not a lot of rap.
I know. Except for like the UK drill stuff.
But yeah.
And some of like the German
stuff.
And that's like,
there's some French rap too. I actually have heard some French rap, but I would say that over there, it's not the popular genre.
Do Spanish guys rap? Spanish guys don't rap, do they?
That's
they just become TS though. And that's not rap.
That's not rap.
What is that? No. It's genre defying.
That's actually a really good point. Like UK, France, Germany, I can think of all these. Even Russian, I can think of these raps I've heard.
It's because Russian Spanish? You could get aggressive. Well, I guess if you can rap in French, you know, because French is supposed to be a little bit of a smoother language.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't rap in Spanish. Yeah. I'm just saying that I haven't heard it a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to hear somebody freestyle.
It's more of Spanish, and I guess French is supposed to be this too, but Spanish is more of like a love making music.
Yeah. Dude, it's one of the dudes, I think, yeah, I'm going to butcher the name, Yusuke, one of the dudes on TikTok that follows us. We have a mutual there.
Okay.
He does Japanese rap, which is super cool.
Dude, some of that stuff is really hard. Dude,
some of the Korean rap goes hard.
That stuff is bomb. I actually rock with some of that stuff. You have no idea what they're saying.
Dude.
I love it.
Some of that stuff, I'm trying to, Year of the Ox? Seven Rings, they're like these two, I think they're Korean dudes. They're Korean dudes out of New York. And they're flipping between like a lot of their verses are in English, but then all of a sudden they'll drop like, you know, maybe five or six or seven words.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Damn. That was better than the English part.
Damn, son. Where'd you find that? Trapaholics. Okay, do your best. Do your best. Trapaholics.
Trapaholics.
No, Trapaholics.
Trapaholics. Bro, how do you do that?
Trapaholics. Real trap shit.
Real trap shit.
Real trap shit.
Real trap shit. This is where we lost all our viewers.
Trapaholics. What
the hell are these guys on? Just a vape pen, you guys.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Free the mans, though.
Free them all.
Yeah. Free my mans.
Free them all.